From the epistles of John, the old people around here used to say, I, John, when they look at this in the Bible, because it had a Roman numeral in front of it. Let's read from the gospel, the epistles of John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's just do that again. Go back to that verse again. Herein is love. Let's all read this together. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. We're used to saying sweet things about Jesus. My mother would ask the blessing at the table, and she would teach me to pray. And she always began her prayers with, Dear Jesus in heaven. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Not a thing. But we talk to God, we talk to the Lord Jesus, on a very familiar and sweet plane of thought, don't we? We talk to him. Songwriter wrote, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Almost all children can sing the little song, I don't care if you're Pentecostal or Presbyterian or even Catholic children can sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And then they sing, Yes, Jesus loves me. And we just ring it out. And we take that for granted, that we speak that way of Jesus. We call God our Father, and Jesus came and taught us to do that. He taught us to call God our Father, and later on in the epistles, in the New Testament, they say that we call him Abba, Father, which is a very sweet, familiar voice that we would say, like my children would come up, or little Grant, I hear him holler for his daddy, and he hollers, Daddy, Daddy. And that Daddy is a more familiar, sweet word than Father. The fact is, I don't know what I would do if one of my children came up and said, Father Kendall, I think I'd say, are you all right? Did you get in the right medicine bottle? We don't speak that formally to each other. Why? Because we love each other. Now, you have a whole Bible here, and lengthwise, most of it is in the Old Testament. You cannot imagine Abraham saying, Dear Jesus in heaven. You cannot imagine Isaiah the prophet saying, Sweet Jesus. And yet we say that. And we say to God terms of endearment. And the Old Testament believers, they talked about, even the psalmist talks about the mercies of God, the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the long suffering of God, the patience of God. They had all kinds of wonderful and marvelous things to say about God, but they didn't say God loves us. And they didn't say we love God. We fear God. We reverence God. We bow our heads and bodies before God. But think where you're at today. Think what a holy place you're sitting in. Because you are so bold. You are so bold. I am so bold to come into the presence of Almighty God. I'm not talking about some little idol somewhere that somebody made with their hands. I'm talking about the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm talking about the Almighty God who has all the power in the universe, who controls everything. I come into His presence and call Him sweet Jesus. I come into His presence and I call Him Father. I come into His presence and do you say this in your prayers? I say, Jesus, I love You. Do you ever say that? Sure. I'm pretty sure all of us do. I tell Jesus I love Him. I tell Him I appreciate Him. I tell Him from the depths of my heart how precious He is to me. You can't imagine Joseph or Noah saying, precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. You can't imagine an Old Testament patriarch calling God precious. Now, you know, we call our dog precious. How many of you ever seen anybody pick up a dog and call him precious? Sure you have. We call our children and our grandchildren precious. We call our sweethearts precious. We use that term, but we use that term for God. How wondrous is the love of God that would let me... Did you catch that first verse we read from chapter 3 and verse 1? What love, what wondrous love, what glorious love, what unique love would let me call myself a son of God? Me, a son of God? I didn't inherit any title that would entitle me to that. I wasn't born an earl or prince or anything with a title. Fact is, my birth certificate don't even have my name on it. It says baby boy Kendall. Mommy and daddy couldn't decide by the time they got out of the hospital. And that was in the days when they kept you in the hospital. They couldn't decide what to call me, so the birth certificate still says baby boy Kendall. You know. But think about it. I am not ashamed. I am bold enough to stand right here and tell you that I am a child of God. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm telling you a fact. I have been adopted into a family. I have been born again into a family. And I have been brought into the presence of the Almighty God. And I can look at Him and call Him Daddy. I can speak to Him, and what manner of love, what manner of love has been bestowed upon us that we could be called the children of God. How good do you have to be called a child of God? How perfect would you have to live to be called a child of God? What kind of sacrifice would you have to make to be called a child of God? How can I have the audacity to stand up here and say that I am a child of God when I know that I am unworthy? When I know that I have sinned? When I know that I have in my life come short of the glory of God? When I know that I have disobeyed. I know that I have not been a perfect person in my life. Now, if you have been, you don't have to worry too much about what I'm saying. But if you haven't been, maybe you'll be interested in what I'm saying. God has bestowed upon us so much love that I can be called a child of God. He is my Father. Now, you say, well, how good did you have to be? It didn't have anything to do with how good I was. Didn't have a thing to do with it. If I could have been good enough to have become a child of God and become one of His family by doing good things and living a good life, then Jesus would not have had to die. Jesus came to this world and hung on a cross and died, was beat nearly to a pulp, had his hair pulled from his face, had a crown of thorns put on his head, had nails in his hands and his feet, was beat with a cat of nine tails, was beat with a stick. He went through all of this humiliation and all of this degradation that he went through and everything that he went through so that I can stand here and tell you that I am a child of God. But if I could have done it without him having to go through that, then he wouldn't have. But do you remember when Jesus got right to the point? I mean, he has crossed the Kidron Valley. He's left the Last Supper. He's crossed the valley into the Garden of Gethsemane. He has knelt, as we used to sing, under the old olive tree. And he has called on his heavenly Father. And he calls on him three times. And you know what he says? Father, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? Is there any way at all that these people could be saved and this world be redeemed and these human beings be brought into your fellowship without me drinking this cup and doing this? And three times Heavenly Father says to Jesus, there is no other way. And so in the end, what does he say? Nevertheless, say it with me, not my will, but thine be done. My brothers and sisters, what love, what glorious, marvelous love God has poured out that this old sinner, saved by grace, baptized with His Spirit, has living in me everlasting life. And I tell you some good things about me having everlasting life in me. The devil didn't give it to me. And the devil can't take it away. The world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. God gave it to me. And it is impossible for Satan or the world or anyone else to pluck me out of his hand. Jesus Christ is the devil's boss man. And when he puts me in the hand of God, Satan and all of his imps cannot take me out of the hand of God. We are not going to be. We are. Let's say it. We are the sons of God. Not someday, sometime, in some resurrection, but by the love of God, because He loved me so much, because He loved you so much, as a Christian, you can say, I am a child of God. Not because you're so good, but because He loved you so much. Now, think about this. Herein is love. You say, I want to know about this love. Well, herein is love. Not that we love God. Oh, I can think of lots of reasons for us to love God, can't you? He's bigger than I am. He's better than I am. He's richer than I am. He has all the answers. He has all of the solutions. He knows all of the mysteries of all the ages. I mean, there's every reason in the world I would want to love God. But my friend, what reason does God have to want to love me? And the truth is, what wondrous, glorious love he has bestowed upon us. What? Herein is love, the next chapter says. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. When did he love us? When we were sinners. When we were sinners. When did he die for us? When we were sinners. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for your sins before you ever committed them. You weren't even born over 2,000 years ago. Jesus died for your sins before you ever committed them. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that great love? And when God sent the Spirit to draw you, I mean, sometimes we act like God was lost and we were out there searching around for him and found him and said, God, I'm going to rescue you. It wasn't that way, was it? The way it was is the sheep was lost and the shepherd came looking for him. And the way it is I was lost and undone without God and on my way to torment, and God came looking for me and saved me and drew me out of darkness and into the marvelous light of his love. Herein is love, that God loves us. Jesus put it this way, for God so loved the world. You would think sometimes to listen to the raging voices of preachers that God just despised the world. Well, there are things of the world that God does despise, I can tell you. But I can tell you, by and large, God, the Creator, the Almighty, created this world and created humanity. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. How great is God's love. How wondrous is God's love. And thankfully, God's love is not fickle. It's not the love that you hear about in Hollywood. It's not the love that they sing about in Nashville. It's not the love they put on the stage in Branson. The love of God, my friend, is not a fickle love. It does not come and it does not go with the seasons. It does not come and it does not go with what's going on in the world or the circumstances of your life. But you know what he says? He says, and Paul has been wrestling with all the things about God and God's relationship with us. And you know what he says? He said, if God was to be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but freely gave him for us, how much more he will freely give us all things. God's love is not fickle. And he goes on to say all these wonderful things. Let's just listen to it. Just, you don't have to read it. I just want you to listen to it. This is terrific. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful? God's love is not fickle. Human love is fickle. People like you a whole lot better when you got a lot of money. People like you a whole lot better if you're young. People like you a whole lot better if you're good looking. People like you a whole lot better if you got the gift of gab and can flatter them. People like all of those things. And when you don't have, then they're not there for you. I told a boy one day he had inherited some money and I was taking care of it for him. And he was wasting it just as fast as he could. And I told him, I said, you'll come to the place. And he was buying all of his friends. Bless his heart, he was buying them Jack Daniels and leather coats and tickets to the races in Martinsville and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you're going to come to the place that you can't buy a cup of coffee. And that's when a cup of coffee cost a dime, by the way. And one cold winter morning, I bought him a cup of coffee for a dime because he didn't have a dime to buy a cup of coffee with. And you say, well, what about all of his friends? What about all of his friends? Where were they? Oh, the Jack Daniels had run out. The leather jackets were gone. The tickets were no more. If he wasn't there to pay for it, then they didn't need him anymore. They went on to the next person that they could mooch off of. His friends loved him for what they could get off of him. God loves you. Period. You say, even before I was saved, even before you were born, God loves you. God loves you. And you can say that. God loves me. What audacity, what love God has bestowed on you to allow you to stand around and say, God loves me. And yet we can do that and we can say that. And I can tell you, His love is not fickle. His love is unconditional. It is forever. And nobody can take His love away from you. And nobody can take it away from the world. And nobody can take Him away from the cross. He has died. He has rose again, Paul said. There's nothing you can do. That is a fact of history. It is a fact of eternal history. Christ came. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ is at the right hand of the throne. He is making intercession and Christ is coming back again. Hallelujah. Nothing can change that. It is the way it is. And you say, boy, that's great theology, preacher. It sure is. It's the heart and soul of the gospel. Paul said to the Corinthians, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when I look at this and I think about what great, you know, theology this is, there's a practical side to it. And the practical side is, number one, it gives your soul spiritual peace. It is the only way that you can come to the place that you are at peace with God and have peace between yourself and Him is to know that He has forgiven you of your sins. Period. And guess what, Earl? You can't drag my sins up and put them back on my shoulder. Hallelujah. Now, your in-laws might try. The person at the next place where you work might try. But I can tell you, they do not have the power to get your sins and put them back on your shoulder. Jesus died for your sins. They're gone. They're gone. Underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, thank God, the old hymn says, my sins are gone. So, I'm free. The love of God has freed my soul from condemnation. I used to not understand that word when I was first a Christian, because people testified and they'd use that word, condemnation. Now, I don't think they quite understood what it was, because when we talked about there's no condemnation, they were talking about, I don't feel guilty because I have a sin on me that's not forgiven. That's what they were saying, but that's not what it means. What it's saying is, I am not condemned. I stand before the judgment seat of God. I stand before the seat of the judge of the Almighty God, and I stand without sin unto salvation. I am not condemned. I was condemned. You say you were? Yes. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might have life. What else did he say? The world was already condemned. It was condemned from the minute Adam and Eve sinned. The world was already condemned. I do not have condemnation. It's gone. You cannot condemn me to the fires of hell. You cannot condemn me to be lost, because I'm not lost. And if you think that sounds a little Baptist-y, I'll just not repent of it, but I'll acknowledge it. You see, when we have this love of God in us, what happens to us? Then we love one another. See, that's where it gets so practical. The practical thing is that the condemnation has gone off of my soul. The burden of my sins have been taken away. And now I love, because he has loved me, then I love you. And he says, you really need to read John. He says that I can't be loving God. You know, I come to church and say, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, we come and we sing that and we raise our voices. You say, well, that's great. Sure is. But Glenn, I just want to tell you something. I'll get you one way or the other. It's impossible for me to be loving God and hating my brother. It's not possible. I cannot have the love of God. You say, well, God loved you and died for you and sent Jesus. Yes, he did. And only, we are only his if we love one another as he loved us. How much did he love us? This much? This much? How much did he love us? Enough to give himself for us. How much did he love us? Enough to die for us. Enough to put all of eternity and heaven and hell and everything about God on the line, that we might be saved. Glory to God forever. What a marvelous and wonderful thing. I wonder why we preachers get so much good out of ranting and raving around the pulpit and foaming at the mouth and spitting all over everybody and rattling on about everybody's sins and saying such horrible things about and making people feel like that God is such a troll and he's sitting up in heaven. And I'll tell you, I'm just waiting for the opportunity to get a hold of you and throw you in the fire of hell and destroy it. Have you ever met that kind of religion? Have you ever met that kind of religion where it seems like the ministry was just so happy to, I'm going to dangle you over the fire? And they will say, preach hell so hot that you can feel the heat. Preach heaven sweet and hell hot. In fact, I heard somebody say that the other day. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus did not come to this world to condemn it. Jesus did not come to this world He did not come to this world, my brother, to tell us that we were wrong. He came to tell us that He loved us. And He came to save us. And He came to redeem us. Hallelujah. And oh, if we could see that, my friend. If we could see that, if we could let that be in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus loves me. Sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And it's no more complicated than that. It's just that simple. Father God, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come humbly into Your presence. And Lord, we come thanking You for Your great, wondrous love toward us. We thank You for redeeming us from among men. We thank You for sending the gospel to such poor people as we are. And Lord, we thank You that in spite of our sins, Your blood spilled down the cross anyway. In spite of our sins, Your Spirit came and drew us. In spite of our sins, Father, You gave all of the fairest jewel of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ stepped out of the ivory palaces of heaven, crossed the Milky Way, and walked down the golden staircase to this world and lived and died with us. Thank You for salvation and redemption. And may Your sweet blessings be upon Your people today and every day. For it is His name we pray. Amen.